know, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Warrior Connection. That's what all the veterans want, is a little bit of respect. That's what the families of the veterans want, is a little bit of respect. What the veterans all need is medical care, optimal medical care, prompt medical care to be taken care of everything. Well, tonight we're going to talk about some more of this stuff and illuminate what has happened and talk about probably the best documentary ever done. Tonight we got two Air Force nurses joining us. So anyhow, we'll see what happens. Joyce, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much, Doug.
Well, welcome, Joyce Riley. Joyce, you were an Air Force nurse, correct?
Flight nurse for a few years, yes, in the Air National Guard and the Air Force Reserve.
Well, you had a little bit of experience. Denise, are you there?
Yes, I am, Doug.
You were also an Air Force nurse, correct?
Correct. Served my 20 years and went reserves and ended up in Saudi.
Yeah, we all seem to have all those kind of problems. I've seen, Joyce, I've seen pictures of you where you've seen before where you're actually in the medevacs working on patients. Those are out there, aren't they?
Yes, they are. A lot of people want to, you know, try to throw the same kind of trash at me that they do at you and say that we never served or we never were this or never that. There are some people that even say I was never a nurse. You know, so that's what they do, and this is how far they will go because they think that people are not smart enough to understand the truth.
You know, one thing's important we all need to recognize, we've got another tragedy down at Fort Hood, Texas. I mean, Fort Hood, Texas has been the site of so many tragedies that it's beyond comprehension. Denise, you and I, and I think Joyce, you also, we've totally confirmed that we had cross-contamination from Desert Storm and the other military operations got back to Fort Hood with individuals that never got deployed that did get sick, didn't we, Denise?
Yes, definitely. The non-deployed that got sick. The spouses and children. I mean, it just goes on and on.
It doesn't end. I think, you know, when we look, although we're never going to know what this latest catastrophe is and what's behind it, one thing that we absolutely do know and we want to focus on is the incredible abandonment of all military personnel going back to World War II and right after World War II, all the way through the Vietnam era on up to the current present to the current day. So again, no matter what we see and what we have, it's clear to all of us, and we're going to talk about this tonight, very clear, that the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs has not done the best job. The U.S. Department of Defense, whether the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, the Coast Guard, the Marines, haven't done the best job. And as a consequence of all this and the continuous problems, don't we have a new bill being introduced in Congress, Denise, that we need full support for?
Yes, the bill is H.R. 4261. It was introduced by Representative Kaufman and Representative Kirkpatrick. So we have a Democrat and a Republican. So far, we've had five co-sponsors. They will have a markup on this bill on the 8th. That's this week. And that's to get it out of committee. But we need to speak to our reps and really go for this. There's some discussion of whether it could have been done differently, but basically what's happened with the Research Advisory Committee is the VA has taken it over. The independence that was supposed to be with the RAC has been destroyed by the VA. So it is now going to be an independent committee. The funding will still come from VA monies. But they will have their independent staff like they've had all these years since it got started in 2002. The members will be chosen, and we have those will be chosen by three from the VA, three from the House of Veterans Affairs, and three from the Senate Veterans Affairs. A lot of people have concerns about it being put that way, but there was no other way to go, truly. You know, because the VA over the last 2 years have just stepped on the rack time and time again.
Well, you know, Jim Benz has testified in his testimony, and we talked about this, it's posted, I mean, talked about this extensively, that the senior leadership of the VA has been censoring reports, they have been preventing information from getting out, they're shooting the messengers. In other words, a retaliation against anybody that comes out. And Joyce, we've seen this for, my God, forever, haven't we?
Well, in fact, I'd like to ask Denise, you know, what has actually been accomplished through the Senate and the House? Give me a list of the things that have been done by them, because from my own vantage point, from my perspective, I can't see anything the Senate or the House has done other than stonewall the treatment for Gulf War veterans. Denise, if you could tell me, I would really appreciate that.
Well, number one, we would have never had Gulf War illness, even the symptoms or the diagnoses of chronic fatigue, fibro, irritable bowel, unless Congress had dictated that. That is how we got it. That wasn't a gift from the VA. It was active legislation and actively with veteran advocates pushing to get that through.
Do you recall what legislation that was? I'd like to look that up.
Oh, my gosh. I'll have to email you, Joyce, or we can put it up on the page for the radio show.
Now, I would like to know, because other than that, has there been more things that have been? Because I hope so. In all these, 17 years now, 15 years, I hope something's been done by the Congress, you know, because all they do is they seem to just play along with the administration, whatever administration is there.
You have to go back and realize that none of this would have come about without Senator Riegel's push and investigation, Senator Rockefeller's, which focused on more of the vaccines and the pill issue, whereas Riegel covered every issue there could be. Then we had, from there, we had Congressman Shea's long-running committee meetings, hearings, investigation, all written up through on the anthrax vaccine and on Gulf War illness. Those went on for 5 to 7 years. He had two investigations going on, one on Gulf War illness and one on anthrax.
You know, we've had all these investigations, but it still comes down to things, and this is where all the incredible concern is and what we want to focus on tonight, is we have hundreds and hundreds, actually over a million veterans that are sick from all these complex toxic exposures.
Right.
The documents have been out there forever and ever and ever. Even though they've been deliberately hidden from the veteran, they've been deliberately hidden from the physicians, confirming the health effects and doing everything.
Right. Let me finish answering Joyce's question, if you would. Joyce, we got the Research Advisory Committee, again, from an act of legislation, okay? That was signed into effect in 2000, and then it didn't get started till 2002 because we had two bills that went through at that time on veterans and Gulf War. And they actually sent it to the Justice Department to see if they conflicted with each other. The Justice Department came back and said, no, there's no conflict. You will enforce both. And then when the RAC started, and Joyce, I've gone to almost all their meetings except for two, but what we were shown at each meeting was what the VA research was doing. And Joyce, I'd go through that list, and it was almost pure stress, psychological effect, not physical. And we kept working with them to put more of the physical into it. They never would. The only one that was physically based at that time was the hypercoagulation study that was started by Dr. Ron Bach out of Minneapolis VA. The risk, the war-related illness centers are doing some research that's more focused. In the past, they haven't been real robust, but I know New Jersey has two programs going on right now that are pretty good. But for the amount of money VA had on Gulf War illness research, they weren't spending the money on the real physical problems. And if you read Mr. Benz's testimony and his, what's happened is they've actually censored the committee, and they can't put in the chapter on the VA research. And that chapter we have gotten out and shared, and I'll share it again with Doug so he can put a link on the radio show for it. But it really shows you that the VA has let us down. And then around 2005, it took Senator Sanders, who had been on Shea's committee, and Representative Kuchinek to stand up and try to get our research over to the DOD, Congressionally Directed Medical Research, to give it an independence. And that was accomplished. We were getting, I think the first amount we had was something like $5 million. We've gotten it up to $20 million. We have people like Dr. Gallome, Dr. Klimas, Dr. Leah Steele, Dr. Baronic at Georgetown. We have two consortiums started. Like Dr. Klimas has brought in Dr. Broadwick from the Canadian University of Toronto. she has brought in Marianne Morris, which did some of the first studies on Gulf War illness. She is now doing that down in Florida. So it's been a battle every year to get the funding for CDMRP that really works on finding the actual damage that is there. We did small scale in order to spread that research money, as little as it was, among the best researchers to try to get answers. Now it's up to the VA and CDMRP now to fund larger scale, like showing the mitochondrial damage that Dr. Ghulam just published 2 weeks ago. Her study was small, but it's high scientific because she took 7 Gulf War vets and 7 normal people. So it's not just the Gulf War vets, it's comparing it with normal people and finding the mitochondrial damage. We are pushing now for a larger scale, for consortiums, for treatment, to get treatment out to the vets, and they will first look at what we've done in the past. CoQ10, carnosine was looked at. Do small scale and look at things off the counter that can be used first before we have to go to drug development.
Okay, Denise.
And that's all been done by support of Congress.
Okay, now we got something that's got to come in. This is what's extraordinarily important, and this is why I've asked Joyce. You know, there's been, all of us have been involved in various conferences and everything else, and there's been numerous documentaries. Probably the best documentary that's ever been done on this is the one that Joyce, that you did, called Beyond Treason. And it's incredible because when we look at the Beyond Treason documentary that you put together and the people you got involved in it, what you did do, Joyce, and this is what I think everybody needs to understand, I want you to explain thoroughly, is you got the confirmation of the exposures, you got the confirmation of the medical problems from the people involved in it, but then what you did is you went out and collected the actual documents, the internal hidden documents, didn't you, to prove all of this stuff.
Well, I think there was no other choice than to do that because we were dealing with such incredibly volatile, volatile information. Now, let me explain that the reason I did this and the reason that I have been involved in documentation is because since 1983, I served as a expert witness in medical malpractice trials, an expert witness in over 600 trials. And in doing so, I was deposed by many, many attorneys around the United States, and I had to be able to prove everything I said, and regardless of whether it was in a deposition or a court of law. So I learned then how to prove up a case. So I decided that when we did the documentary, I was not going to do it without the documents to support and the background for what I talked about. And that is where I think this documentary probably exceeds anything else that has been done, is because there is proof there. And one U.S. representative right now is reviewing it, his staff is reviewing it, and preparing a letter to the Department of Defense demanding their response to it. Now, this is something that I've been able to get just of recent, and I'm really pleased that this is taking place, because I do think that this is going to be a very, it's going to be a huge issue to be able to get this in front of congressmen and get a letter to the Department of Defense for them to have to respond to. And in there are the documents, some of which you provided me, regarding depleted uranium, many documents regarding each of the poisonings of our military that we talked about, from atomic veterans all the way up to what's going on with our military today. So, and by the way, I want to offer a copy of the documentary at no charge to any veteran out there who has not seen it, if they will call us at the Power Hour or email me at thepowerhour@thepowerhour.com. I will get them a copy of it. Now, it does not include the documents. And if you want the documents on CD-ROM, you could order that from the Power Hour. But I will give you the DVD free to see the documentary.
Now, you also have the Beyond Treason website, don't you?
Beyond Treason website, yes. And I wish there were more solutions on it that I could add to it. But unfortunately, there isn't, because of the Farrah's Doctrine and because of Congress's failure to do what they should have done in the past 15 years or 18 years or however many years it's been now. You know, they've had over $700 million. That's a minimum we know of, and yet very little. And I appreciate what Denise has done, but that's why I quit going to Congress. I had made so many trips to Washington and absolutely nothing was done that I felt like we needed to be talking to the veterans and taking care of them and doing this documentary, which would impact other people. And I've received so many letters from so many veterans that it has impacted their lives and made a difference. At least they didn't give up because they had an answer as to why this was happening to them. And then finding out why the DOD and the VA continues to, abort their attempts to try and get some help. You know, we were able to point out that this has been done for many years, that what has happened is the DOD has utilized a third party, whether it's the IOM or the whatever organization they want to call upon, RAND Corporation, whatever, and they use that third party to say, see, we presented to them and they couldn't find a problem, therefore we don't have an answer, so therefore we're not going to treat anybody.
You know, this goes back, and this goes back, I mean, you've got thorough documentation, you've got the video, you've talked to soldiers and everybody. They were involved in the, what we call the downwinders, a nuclear bomb test. So we got, this is going back to World War II, and then afterwards throughout the 40s and the 50s into the 60s, and has continued on, where you've got thorough documentation. You're showing the photos of these end soldiers being marched out in the desert and a nuclear bomb going off. And all of the health effects have just become devastating to all of those guys, haven't they, Joyce?
Oh, absolutely. And most of the downwinders and the atomic veterans have died as a result of their exposure. But what I wanted to do was to show that this is not something that just happened one time. But, for instance, in Vietnam, they used a drug called BZ, and it was a hallucinogenic drug that was like LSD only on steroids, and it would keep them medicated in a hallucinogenic state for many, many days and or weeks. And what I found was, from the people that I talked to, is that they had actually started killing each other. They gave half the troops BZ and half the troops they did not give BZ. And so they called it friendly fire, but it was really the troops were killing each other. Now, that was by design. Now, we're talking about a group of evil, evil people that all need to spend the rest of their natural lives in prison for what they've done. And bringing it up to the present with the depleted uranium, I don't think we would have ever been able to do the documentary had it not been the information that you incorporated, that you provided to us, because your information was beyond anything that we had ever imagined, and the interview within there is priceless. And I've heard so many people speaking to the fact that, you know, that is really the reason that we know what's going on today with depleted uranium is because of what you did. You know, and I commend you for your stand on that and how it has, you have had to pay the price for that.
You know, but, and the price continues to be paid because, as you everybody knows everything, when I was, you know, came back in an attack on me recently at a U.S. Air Force meeting in November, I ended up getting physically attacked by a whole group, including police officers and EPA guys, and hustled out to prevent all the information from getting out. But again, we're coming back to real simple things. The documentation confirming the direct order to use the stuff, whether we're looking at the Project Shad stuff, MK Ultra, all this other stuff, we're looking at the nuclear testing, all of these things happen. They knew medical care was required. What we knew from Desert Storm, and you've got, again, we've got all the documentation, it is included in Beyond Treason, is the fact that these are the medical care requirements for all of these known exposures, and yet the decision has been made over and over again to deny care. Denise, you were just instrumental in getting another member of my team from 23 years ago, and Joyce, in Beyond Treason, you show our team with the Abrams tank above everything in the 88s, and all of us right there as we cleaned up the DU in the desert. And Denise, you were able and instrumental in getting another member of our team that has cancer, has been abandoned, has all of the respiratory, the rash, and everything in touch with us again so we can line up his medical care. I mean, for me, they told him he was never there and didn't do it like they keep saying about me. Here's the total evidence. Like, Joyce, I mean, you got the whole section. You got the picture of my primary team cleaning up the destroyed Abrams tanks. It's in the documentary.
Well, you know, there was another show that we need to give credit to, and Doug and Dr. Durakovich and myself to some degree helped to get Discovery Channel to do the story on the chromosome sky testing. And Joyce, if you don't know that, we got that study funded through CDMRP. I am working very diligently to get more samples to the researcher, Dr. Hing, and we have just a short period left to increase the sample size. But, you know, that's the chromosome, high-level testing with sky chromosome testing, and that was funded by the CDMRP. So, you know, we are doing what we can to get the right testing done to show the damage, you know, to prove to them, because the VA before was not doing that. So our only option was to go for other funding source, and that was CDMRP. The only other thing we can do is push maybe NIH or, you know, set up a foundation to do research and show the damage. And that's what the CDMRP is doing. Dr. Bronick's study with the fMRI-DT showed the white brain matter, there's a fiber network that's not working in the Gulf War vets.
Let me ask you, how many people in both of these situations have they been able to treat now and get better as a result of that information?
The thing is, we're just now, you know, we had the CoQ10 study, we had the carnosine trial. Now we're trying to push for other treatments, and it depends on the researchers getting involved and putting in their proposal and trying something to see if it improves the vets.
You know, we've got to come back to
that's the whole key now, is that we're truly focusing on trying to find some treatment.
No, we had the treatment outline all the way back before Desert Storm. I mean, the treatment has been outlined. Okay, Joyce, you have on your thing, you talked about Agent Orange affecting the Vietnam vets. Probably the most important document, and Joyce, you're the one that put it up for the first time to everybody see, is what we call Admiral Zumwalt's report on Agent Orange that was written in 1990. And he blistered the Department of Veteran Affairs and the Department of Defense because they deliberately and willfully withheld all the information. We know with pesticides, we know what treatment has always been required for pesticide exposure. That's always been out there. But at 4:15 this evening, Central Time, I went on the Department of Veteran Affairs website and everything I had, trying to find the Zumwalt report from 1990, and there was no mention of it all. If you go on to the Department of Defense websites, the Air Force, the Army, the Navy, the Coast Guard, Marine, there's not going to be any mention of it. One thing that I found out, and again, I've delivered this Agent Orange report totally in writing and printed copy and by email and by Beyond Treason to the Danville VA Medical Center, and as of Friday, guess what? It's still not provided at the physicians, still not accessible in the library. So we have all these documentation, whether it's the stuff on depleted uranium or any of the stuff that's out there. We've got all the stuff on the atomic testing. And Joyce, in your documentary, the documents are there for everybody to see. You've got the full Regal report. Denise, you've mentioned the Regal report. Jim, we've all sat with Jim Toot before and discussed this. I remember, Denise, you and I sitting with Jim Toot and Jim bringing this up to Mikey Kilpatrick. And we said, okay, here's all the information. Now just start taking care of the troops. You know what to do. But, you know, one of the things that bothered me is, oh, well, we need more research. We need more research, when the simple thing is the medical care and protocols for the burn pit exposures, the medical care protocols for the oil well fires, the medical care protocols for radiological contamination, the medical care protocols for all of the nerve agent stuff has been in existence in medicine for a long, long time.
Right. That's right. Now, here's the issue. Is do they know or do they not know? Of course they know, because we presented the evidence. And so we don't need any more chromosomal studies. We don't need any more hair analysis done. We don't need any more fingernail clippings. I mean, what they're trying to do is put these people through an incredible journey to which they just practically want to give up. And that's the sad part, is look how long this has gone on. We're talking 1991. Now, I got a copy of that, and now let's use this as an example. The Admiral Zumwalt report, I got in about 1990-something, I can't remember, and immediately put it up on our website. And you can see it, and you can download it at GulfWarVets.com. Just in the search engine at GulfWarVets.com, put in Agent Orange report, and you can download the whole thing. I've been giving it away to vets for many, many years. And when I confront someone like an attorney or a judge advocate or somebody, a physician in the military, they know it reaches the standard of causation, of legal causation. And what that means is it says in the report that it is as likely as not that these items were created, these problems were created by the Agent Orange. Now, that is the legal standard of causation, which means that it caused it, therefore there are damages, and these troops should be compensated for these damages and treated, of course. But they're not. And they're not doing it even today, even though they've had that document. So my position is they don't need any more studies. They need to treat them. And they are doing that for a reason. They are not treating them for a reason. They are waiting for an army to die. And that's why I believe the pressure needs to be put upon them to show the evidence and say, let's go forward. But because of the Farah's doctrine, they don't have to. They don't have to do anything. They can get away with it. And these people are criminally negligent for what has happened, not just depleted uranium, but with respect to all of the other problems, Agent Orange, the hallucinogenic drugs, LSD, Operation White Coat, all of these things, the burn pits. They know the burn pits existed, and they know that creates a problem. So, to me, it is intentional and willful neglect of the military. And I don't have to be an attorney to say that, but it is fairly obvious that this is by design.
You know, in the Zumwalt report, and thank God you have it, is on Beyond Treason, and I'm looking at it right now because of you. And in here on page 3, Admiral Zumwalt wrote, quote, I further conclude that the Veterans Advisory Committee on Environmental Hazards has not acted with impartiality in its review and assessment of scientific evidence related to the association of the adverse health effects and exposure to Agent Orange. And in the paragraph before, he went through and he listed all of the stuff that we're still seeing. Last week, I mean, the Vietnam veterans that flew the birds that sprayed the Agent Orange, the veterans of the Navy that were on the ships and doing all this stuff, were still fighting for medical care some 40-odd years after the fact on Agent Orange exposure. I mean, we just had it right here, and we've been involved in this, and Joyce, I mean, you were the recipient of another attack. We have total confirmation from the U.S. Air Force individual that sprayed Agent Orange on Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul, Illinois. The guy that did it walked up here, walked in here, stated it very specifically. He did it. He absolutely sprayed it and all this stuff. He buried it. So all this stuff is there. He has 100% disability for the use of Agent Orange on Chanute from the VA. And still we see continuous retaliation and denials by the Air Force and the EPA that even happened when the guy that said he did it did it. I mean, well, I mean that's the devastation that's coming about on this stuff, because whether it's Agent Orange or the bomb testing or it's the Project Shad, it's a nightmare. Today after church, I'm going back because I've got to do next Sunday. I've got to be the lector for Palm Sunday, so we've got to do the Passion. And I'm back there, and the individual that's taking care of our church says, my dad died because he was in an atomic test out at Los Alamos, out there at the nuclear bomb testing, and he was abandoned. And he told me very specifically today that when he got his father's military records, he wasn't there and he didn't do it. But we've seen that over and over again. I mean, this is what happened to me again. You weren't there and you didn't do it. We've had that over and over. Denise, you and I ran into that problem with Dr. Kilpatrick and Colonel Cherry and Colonel Daxon and all the stuff. Here's the primary team, Andres Carnegie Bob, Colonel Herb Smith, all of us that did the stuff, totally verified, and yet you see even the guys that were responsible. You guys weren't there, nobody's sick, it didn't happen to you. And then the average kid, and Joyce, this is why your work is so critical on this whole Beyond Treason stuff. He knows he's sick. He knew he was in the area, but he doesn't know what he got zapped with.
Well, you know, I think it's important that we're all doing what we're doing, and I appreciate the credit you're giving to me, but the credit, it really is, I mean, I did it because I was sick. I didn't want to be sick. I wanted to find out why I was sick, and I made a promise to my Heavenly Father that if I got better, that I would never quit trying to help other veterans. The issue is, all these things you're mentioning here, Doug, they have known about. They have kicked veterans to the side of the curb like dead animals for years. Ever since I saw, and this was my wake-up call, when I saw Senate Report 103-97, and the first paragraph, and I quote, and it is included in the CD-ROM, is during the past 50 years, hundreds of thousands of our military have been experimented upon without their knowledge or consent. All right, there you have it. It's right there. They admit it. They've experimented on military without their consent. That violates the Nuremberg Code, everything that we stand for. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, when we've got enough documents now, we've got enough information. I can't in good conscience make trips back and forth to Washington. I don't have the money. I don't know where people get the money to do all this. I did it as long as I could, but I think what happens is they want to exhaust us and our energies. And so now I'm calling for the people to say, look, what happened at Fort Hood is because of inaction of the U.S. government, over medication of the U.S. government. You know, there are some veterans I've talked to that have been on at least as many as 24 of these drugs. Two veterans that were on 54 of these drugs. There is no way these people can even function, let alone be normal or healthy or mentally well with these drugs, because these drugs are not, should not be given in combination. So, you know, the government spent over $5.8 billion on medications for our military. Over 30% of our military now are now drugged with antidepressants and SSRI drugs. And we know what happens. They cause increased aggressiveness and murder and homicide. And yet the Department of Defense seems to find that that's a fine thing to do for them. You don't offer them any treatment. You give them an appointment 9 months from today to see somebody, which they never see a psychiatrist. They usually see an aide of some kind. You label, and this is the big killer. This is the main thing they have done. They have labeled all these veterans since 1994 that I know of with PTSD, somatoform disorder, any kind of psychiatric disorder. And at the time, Doug, when I saw these people, let me give you an example. 27-year Marine recruiter who was doing fine, doing great, wonderful guy before he went to Iraq, came back, and he was standing there in the office with his uniform on, and he wet his pants. And he was so humiliated, and it was just a horrible experience. And he went to the doctor to find out why. And they said, well, we need to give you a psychiatric exam. And they gave him a psychiatric exam, and they asked him, well, have you ever been depressed in your life? And he said, well, my mom died when I was 12, and that was kind of hard. They diagnosed him as PTSD secondary to his mother's death. And yet they did not treat the bladder problem that he had. They did not treat the incontinence. He went on to get sicker and sicker and sicker. And this has nothing to do with any testing that needs to be done with respect to Gulf War illness. They didn't test him. They didn't treat him at all, period. Just cast him off as a psychological problem and then sent him to D.C. for the final program that they do there called Coming to Terms, which is when they're getting ready to die. And then I think he is probably dead at this time. But this is the way they did it. They diagnosed everybody with PTSD. Now, imagine this. In 1985, when we had a conference with Wellstone's office, Senator Wellstone, before he died, which was so sad that happened, and for many reasons, but, of course, he was helping out the veterans.
I was in Wellstone's office right before he was finally shot out of the sky and met with him up in Minneapolis. I mean, I flew up there. He asked me to come. And we presented him with all of the documentation, just like what's in Beyond Treason that we had. And Paul and his whole staff were crying as we sat in his office up there in Minneapolis, St. Paul, because he had the total realization, the total understanding that all these exposures were known, all the health effects were known, all of the directives for medical care existed. I mean, this is what we taught with the Medical Management Chemical Biologic Casualties course for the Army Central Command and Army Medical Command during Desert Storm.
But he believed you, and that worked, and he understood, and he was doing something about it. He was actually doing something about it. And he told me that by 1995, at least 80% of the military had been released from duty that had served in Desert Storm because they knew they were going to get sick. Well, that was the goal, to get them out of the military, get them labeled as head cases. We also found from my interviewing all these troops that 80% of these troops had either been placed on or offered Prozac. Now, tell me, Doug, do you really think that we sent 80% of our troops to fight the first Gulf War and they were all a bunch of head cases?
Not at all, because they got the tax exposures. I mean, this is another document, and this is not in Beyond Treason, and what we need to do is get it into your database. The U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, Vision 11, this entails Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and everything else. They put out a document called Some Things You Need to Know About Veterans, A Clinician's Guide to Veteran-Specific Issues. And this was written by a whole bunch of senior VA physicians and doctors. They talk about, right in the beginning, substance abuse. That's turned into a nightmare. The number of kids and soldiers that we've all dealt with, Denise and I, you've had to do, we've both had to do emergency responses, because these kids are so sick and they're so frustrated from denied medical care and having to deal with the ethical and moral crisis and the fact that this is what I did in war based on orders and I know this was wrong, that they've gone to all kinds of substance abuse, whether it's to provide medications that they don't use right, but then they go on and take all the stuff, the illegal street drugs and the alcohol, and they turn into a nightmare. So again, they're recognizing all this stuff. We talk about traumatic brain injury and everything else. I mean, there's a lot more. Traumatic brain injury is not just, you don't have to get knocked out to have a brain injury, because the coup injury, the brain and the helmet, the helmet's never going to do anything to prevent an injury inside the brain, because the helmet, I mean, the brain still sloshes around, and all the medical problems associated with that, I mean, from just a concussion injury. But then the other thing we know, and you guys are both nurses, and in the document, it's in here, the complex toxic exposures affect the neurophysiology, which is how much oxygen is supplied to the brain, and nutrition is supplied to the brain, the cellular damage, which is just Vitrik Lowe lab confirmed now, the mitochondrial damage, that creates all the problems too. So the VA has thoroughly acknowledged everything. When we get into Gulf War syndrome, and they go back and forth and the whole thing, very specifically, the VA physicians were told in this document, what included in there is fatigue, skin rash, headache, muscle and joint pain, memory loss, shortness of breath, sleep disturbances, diarrhea, and other symptoms, problems involving skin integumentary tissue and the chest pain. They get into depleted uranium. The VA physicians, Vision 11, have been told point blank, the medical signs and symptoms for DU exposure are, quote, sleep problems, mood swings, symptoms in upper and lower and respiratory system, neuropsychological symptoms, including memory loss, chronic fatigue, immune dysfunction syndrome, skin rashes, unusual hair loss, aching joints, headaches, abdominal pain, sensitivity to light, blurred vision, menstrual disorders, gastrointestinal problems, diarrhea, constipation, you never know, nervous system disorders such as numbness in a limb, multiple chemical sensitivity and birth defects. We continue on, so we're seeing this stuff. When we get to the anthrax vaccine, I mean, you know, this was discussed in Beyond Treason. Again, the documents are there. We knew the anthrax vaccine, they didn't have enough vaccine. We knew it had nothing to do with the type of anthrax we were being exposed to that was sent to Iraq by the U.S. Army. Again, totally documented in the Regal Commission report. And, Joyce, you got the whole Regal report on the CD with Beyond Treason. The known medical problems for anthrax vaccination: muscle and joint pain, paralysis, chronic fatigue and exhaustion, severe headaches, weight loss, chronic illness, memory problems, numbness in the legs and hands, spasms or tremors in limbs, diarrhea and cardiac problems. Well, the physicians have been told this, and we can go on and on and on with all of these exposures, but again, as nurses and me as an old EMT and a paramedic teaching this stuff, you know, the 91A, 91B for the Army and then all the stuff in, you know, EMT for the state, all these stuff are overlapped, so this is synergistic in nature. We know the toxic exposures affected each of the physiological symptoms, and we've talked about this over and over again. This is synergistic in nature, so a little dab will do you, a little dab will do you, and oh my God, we got an incredible problem. I mean, Joyce and Denise, how in all your medical careers going back, I mean, both of you guys have been nurses for a long, long time. You've seen all of this stuff. The farmers with the pesticide exposures have been a common thing for what, since antiquity?
Well, let me go back to saying my premise or my basic thought for this whole thing is these people need to be behind prison for the rest of their natural lives. There's no way that there is a congressman, I think, at this point in time, maybe one, that will do anything about this. There is no way that Senate or House or anybody in the government's going to do anything about it. They have covered it up too long, and they cannot come forward now and let it be seen for what it is, because then it will be known that they have lied about this. So they have to keep playing this game of, gee, we just can't figure it out. And that's what they've been doing for all this time. So everything that everybody has been doing, man, I appreciate all the actions of everybody that has been fighting with the government over this. But we really need to go to the people and say, here's the evidence. It's in Beyond Treason. I mean, there's no way. Once you see Beyond Treason, you can never go back and think that they didn't know what was going on. Never, ever.
The documents are all there to verify it.
I'm
sorry?
Their
documents, not documents created by Doug or Denise or Joyce, but the internal documents created by the Department of Veterans Affairs, Department of the Navy, the Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, DOD, they're there. I mean, the Army regulations are there saying, we know there is a health effect, therefore you will clean it up, therefore you will give medical care. End of story. There needs no more debate.
You've got you provided me with the Department of the Army pamphlet 700-48, which is on there. The handling procedures for equipment contaminated with DU. There's no way you cannot understand what that means. Then there's also chemical exposure and the report that was done. It was a report, defective protective gear report, which showed that Isratex, I mean, this is how bad the collusion was and the conspiracy was. This company called Isratex, Isratex, in Rainville, West Virginia, there was a report that was released by Donald Mancuso, who is Deputy Inspector General from the Department of Defense. And in it, it says that the U.S. government had 800,000 defective suits, chemical protective suits, for the mop suits. They were all defective, all of them. They had holes in them, tears in them, and that they had been provided by Isratex. And they were faulty. So not only did our troops get affected by the weapons the U.S. sold Iraq, but it also, they got affected, and they wore those stupid suits around in that hot weather and got so incredibly ill as a result of the defective chemical suits. And Isratex, by the way, was never found guilty of anything other than some employment issues, and they all went back to Israel and got away with it. So, I mean, that's criminal. We're talking criminal stuff here. We don't need to be going to Congress and say, please hold another hearing. We need to be saying, put these people behind bars. They have taken the lives of these people who trusted them, who thought they were doing the right thing. I thought I was serving for the right reasons. I don't support the mission any longer, the military, but I do support those returning that are sick and deserve help. Because we all thought we were doing the right thing, and we didn't realize what was really taking place. So, but they have to keep this charade going. And I hate to disappoint, you know, other people that have hope, but they're not going to come forward. There's never going to be a point at which they have a hearing in Congress or a new bill in Congress that says, we've had a religious experience and we are so sorry for what we did. We're going to come forward and help all these troops. It is not going to happen.
You know, the decision was made, and I was there during Desert Storm, and we had all the DU casualties. We put out the DU medical order. All of you, Joyce, you've got the originals. Denise, you've seen them. Joyce, you've got copies of the original orders. One thing that was so frightening for me is our good old buddy, Dr. Bernard Rotsker, sent me, and you got a copy of Joyce, sent me a letter in 1999. He states the decision was made during Desert Storm not to provide medical care or do the bioassay on the DU casualties. And yet we have in our hand the order issued by 3rd Medcom from June of 1991 directing the medical care. And so here we've got everybody up at the senior leadership in Congress saying, we didn't know, we didn't do it, but wait a minute, yeah, we did. And then you get them caught on everything, and then they just start running like, you know, I can't even begin to describe it. We had Andres Carnegie Bath, You both know him. Denise, you know Andres. You know, we work together. Andres told you point blank he had the argument with his in-laws, Lieutenant General Block. Lieutenant General Block disregarded what his own family member told him about all the complex exposures, especially the dust and the chemical compounds in the dust, whether it's from the nerve agents, whether it's from the pesticides, whether it's from the oil file. Andres identified that a long time ago, and then here last month, all of a sudden, they're coming out, well, we need to do research on the dust to find out whether it health effects. Wait a minute. The Army colonel already did it. We saw it during Desert Storm. He put the report. He identified the disease called L-Ascan disease, and he directed medical care, and then he died. And then he died because he couldn't get his own medical care, and he got flustered trying to provide medical care to everybody else that he had identified from day one.
You know, the documents are all there. The evidence is there. And so to continue, and I consider it a charade of begging people to do something about this, is, I'm sorry, they are not going to do it until they are absolutely forced to do it. There's enough evidence. Now, there must be, there's over 3,000 pages of documents on Beyond Treason. Let me give you an example on the Beyond Treason CD-ROM. There's the Regal report, the defective protective gear, the 308 missing files from Gulflink, Gulf War risk factor report, instructions to the units for receiving anthrax vaccine. I mean, these are all government documents, not mine. Depleted uranium handbook of 2004, Iraq's chemical weapons that they possessed, U.S. Army DU handling procedures, Gulf War death statistics. I mean, on and on. There are thousands of pages, and I put them on there for a reason, because I don't want anybody to say to me, I'm imagining any of this, I'm dreaming it up. The evidence is there. Now, there is so much evidence there, and for things not just Gulf War, but MK Ultra, which was the psychological manipulation of people and the mind control program that they had, which a lot of people believe was just a movie. Well, it wasn't. MK Ultra was a real deal. And then just so much evidence and information. There is no way that they have a back door out, or they should be even guessing or even holding a hearing or even another rule, regulation, code, or law or statute that they want to do now. The evidence is in. So anyone who has been involved in this, you know, Rosker is a big one, is complicit in this and complicit in killing of our military. I'm sorry to say it so strongly, but that is exactly what it is.
You know, when I'm looking at the Regal Commission report, and I'm looking at it right now, it's got total confirmation of the shipment of the weaponized anthrax to Iraq from Fort Detrick, Maryland. I know the guys that shipped it. The other thing that's included in there, point very specifically, and this was shipped on 21st of May, 1985, to Basra, Iraq. West Nile fever virus.
Yes.
That came from Plum Island off of New York. They finally, eventually, they had it all the time as an Army biological weapon. It finally got off of the island, got into Central Park, and has now marched across the United States, causing devastating health effects with a known biological weapon created by the military, sent overseas. I mean, wait a minute. We're sending these known biological weapons overseas to use against the Iranians, Iraqi Kurds. That's a given fact. They got used against us. When we blew it all up, it came on down to us. I mean, in Beyond Treason, you've got the actual video showing, you know, the pictures showing the U.S. military weapons, chemical weapons, in the bunkers at Iraq before they were blown up by the guy that blew them up. I mean,
yeah.
How much more do you get? And now, so, I mean, why? Where is it, you know, where is the common sense? Because, as you said, members of the Department of Defense and the House and the Senate have known forever. We've testified. Denise and you and I have told them, given them the documents personally, one-on-one, and they still act like they don't have them. They still act like, well, we've got to do more research.
Yes.
They all know they've got the stuff. They don't care because they're complicit in what has happened.
Well, they're complicit in this, and what they do is they either retire them or they get them away from their positions, like, you know, who knows where Rosker went, or some of the people that served as in the Department of Defense who were responsible for continuing these incredible, experiments that killed people. But you mentioned the West Nile fever virus, and that's important because U.S. did not have a problem with West Nile. Nobody did in the world. There was a case of West Nile back in 1932, allegedly in the West Nile arena. But they sold biological weapons, which I was on a radio show with Kilpatrick, and I challenged him with this. It was on a radio station in Los Angeles, and I challenged him to the selling of these biologicals to Iraq. And he said, well, now you're a nurse, and you know that they only that they do research with these. And I said, no, sir, not that are attenuated, not attenuated, and that are capable of reproduction. And you don't sell them in 55-gallon drums either, and which really shut him up, because the U.S. sold West Nile fever virus, along with anthrax and along with a number of other items. But here's the thing. We didn't have any West Nile fever virus. Then Israel did experience some after the Gulf War, and then now we're being threatened with West Nile fever virus. But guess what? The Tri-Service Vaccine Task Force, during the time back in 1990, was experimenting with West Nile fever virus vaccine. We didn't have a problem with West Nile fever virus, but they create the problem, then they create the solution called the Hegelian dialectic. So you create the problem by sending the West Nile fever virus over to Iraq, and then you try to do a vaccine against that, and pharmaceutical companies do the primary and secondary trials on the military, which is very easy because it doesn't cost them anything, other than because they don't have to give anybody any money. They just do it against their will or without their knowledge. And they do the vaccine trials in the military to get the vaccines approved by the government. And that is so sad because there are too many people that you've heard about that passed out or died while they were in basic training getting vaccines. So they created all these vaccines.
Goes on and on and on. I mean, I'm going to go back, and again, it's in Beyond Treason. People can go it. We knew Iraq had the chemical and biological stockpiles because the U.S. Army shipped them to them. We knew that, had that information. In December 1990, and again, this is in Beyond Treason. We've talked about it before. And Denise, you and I had a conversation on it by the guy that was responsible. On page 390 of General Schwarzkopf's autobiography, It Doesn't Take a Hero, he talks about the decision we made in December of 1990 in Riyadh to destroy the chemical and biological stockpiles in place that the U.S. Army, U.S. military gave to Iraq to prevent a deliberate use, having full knowledge that they would cause all the health effects. And we told them at that time. Now, Denise, you and I were together with General Horner, who made the decision and launched the missions as the Air Force General to destroy the stuff. And remember, he told us, you and I, point blank to our faces, yeah, we did it. We went and blew them all up, but all we did was spread them, and we're all sick, including me. Remember that, Denise?
Yes, that was at the 10-year anniversary that the Kuwaiti embassy put on.
And at the same time, all this stuff, Mikey Kilpatrick and the senior leadership in the VA are up there lying and denying any health effects. And I remember General Horner turned to him and gave him the Italian salute and said, you guys are lying, and he walked out, didn't he?
Yes, and that's it's unbelievable that the generals can know this, but how many of them have come forward to help the Gulf War vets?
Well, they're not going to. I mean, this is the same thing. I've just been turned down by my congressman for help on getting the contamination cleaned up, all the direct interference and media and everything else by the EPA and the Air Force on the Agent Orange and all the contamination at Chinook Air Force Base. But again, you see these congressmen that are retired military or whatever, and guess what? They're never going to blow the whistle on anybody, even when they have the full knowledge. Joyce, you're right. There's no accountability, because to tell the American public what has happened in the incredible numbers, millions of casualties we have that have nothing related at all to enemy engagements, because these wars since Vietnam have all been a charade.
Yes.
God almighty, I wish that they weren't, but they really were, and I've been involved, and I paid the cost. How does the American public wake up? Because nobody in Congress acknowledges it, and even the American public doesn't want to acknowledge, hey, we're really evil.
Well, I think they have to start addressing the problem for what it is, and that is the intentional act of the Department of Defense and the U.S. government to harm their military. And once they do, I mean, there's no way you could look at Executive Order 13139 that says that you can basically give anything to the military people that you choose to. So, you know, you've got, they've got carte blanche to do whatever they do. They've got no accountability. They've got the Pharaoh's Doctrine, which says, by the way, that you cannot sue the government. I mean, they could go over to your barrack and they could run over your barrack with a bulldozer and kill everybody in that barrack, and you have no right to sue the government.
Well, that happened with the 442nd New York National Guard military police that did the rescues in World Trade Center when that place was blowing up, okay? I mean, my guys at New York Police and Fire went into the building that I trained at the Chemical Corps on all this stuff. The bombs went off. They got out. Willie Rodriguez, best one of my best friends, last man out of the building. All these people are sick. Everything is all happening all over the place, and yet we have the continuous denial of the stuff is happening. So you use this by saying this is what happened, all a charade, in reality the other stuff happened, such to justify the invasion. I mean, if the documents are out there, anybody can go to it. Go to the United States House of Representatives, pull up the February 12, 1998 decision on the Middle East. There is the directive to invade Afghanistan that we did. They knew when the stuff invaded Iraq, the current time, said they had the chemical and biological weapons. They didn't. Go to page 390 of Schwarzkopf's autobiography, and he admits we destroyed them all.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, back to the issue of what is the solution, because we need to be working on the active items of the solutions, and that is somehow we have to have some type of legal constraint against them or legal precedent set. We need to overturn the Pharaoh's Doctrine. And all these people that are going, you know, and spending a lot of time lobbying Congress or lobbying people, they need to spend their time getting that Pharaoh's Doctrine overturned, or there will never, never will they stop doing what they're doing, because they have carte blanche. They can do anything to any of the military. And I would encourage you all to look at Executive Order. Just go to a search engine and look at Executive Order 13139. To see what they can do to the military. They can do anything they choose. And so as long as they have that ability, then all of the laws, I mean, we don't need a law passed in Congress. We need somebody to take these people and literally hold them accountable for what they've done. By the way, the Executive Order 13139 is improving health protection of military personnel participating in particular military operations. That was done by the Clinton administration in 1999. And basically says they've got carte blanche to do whatever they want to do. So until people realize this and quit chasing this, oh, if we can just get them to do this law or that thing or put some money toward this, no. That is a huge, I'm sorry to say this, but a huge waste of time when you know people are murdering people.
They're not
you don't get a law passed that says they shouldn't be murdering them when they're already murdering them, and there is a law that says don't murder.
They're not going to have a come-to-Jesus moment, are they? They never have. That expectation of all the veterans that will have the senior leaders that have a come-to-Jesus and start taking care of them without any hesitation, without any proof. These kids are sick, and they're told, you have to prove that you were there, you have to prove it. For example, remember, Denise, you and I were in a conference. Kilpatrick was on there, Jerry Wheat. They had just removed the tumor out of his left shoulder with the depleted uranium in the tumor, and they told Jerry Wheat that he had to prove the tumor in his shoulder with the DU in the tumor that they removed up there at Bethesda was caused by the DU in the tumor. You remember that, Denise?
Oh, my goodness.
I do.
That is horrific.
See, they know. They don't care.
That's
by
like
the way, Mikey is retired,
Vietnam
and Dr. Smith
actually came from
new,
Vietnam in their bodies.
By the way, Mikey retired, and the new guy is a Dr. Smith. Joe called me back from Mikey's staff on Friday.
These people are absolutely criminals. And let's call it what it is. And don't expect any law to be passed to undo what's been done since since 1990. Oh, my gosh. I mean, look at the innocent lives that have died waiting for somebody to write a bill or pass a bill or a law or a statute. All these people have died for no reason, and they're dying now. I mean, look at the burn pit situations. Now you've got a whole nother thing to try and go and beg them to do something about, and they're not going to do it.
And the internal, and I keep handing this out, and the big thing with the VA, the U.S. Department of Medical, MedCom directive, acknowledge and health effects from the burn pit, and directing medical care at the VA exist. And that neither the VA will hand up the kids when they come in sick. The Department of Defense is not going to do it. You're not going to see any veteran service officer from the Legion, VFW, DAV, or AMVET give any kid any of these documents they have in their hands, whether it's a Zumwalt report or the burn pit document or the DU directives. Well,
so
we've
right.
ran our, out of our time, ladies and gentlemen. Joyce, can you come back on again and continue this conversation?
Certainly. I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. See you guys later. God bless America. Let's hold them accountable and finally get it done, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.